Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 25 of Bundle of Oi. I'm your co-host, Doug.
I'm Amy.
And here we are. We're back after a one-week hiatus.
Yes, thank you for your patience. Mm-hmm. I was sick last week, I think it was. I'm still sick.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I think the reason that we did not podcast was that my nose was running constantly, and I didn't think I could make it through a whole podcast.
Without...
We're going to test it tonight and see how I do, as my cold is not any better.
Spoiler alert, you're going to be hearing some serious nose music tonight.
Nose music. You'll hear the honk.
Ooh.
That could be heard around the world.
That's true.
And the cough that could be heard. I'm dying, basically.
Yeah.
No, I went to the doctor.
And they said you weren't dying.
They said I was not dying. It's not a sinus infection. It's not the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Although my coworker today, she said that her kid had the same issue. She said, you know, she took her kid to the doctor. They did a swab. Not the flu. Not a sinus infection or whatever. And then a week later, she said, you know what? She's still not getting better. They re-swabbed her and she had the flu.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because there's lots of strains of influenza. And the way they test these things, it's kind of like, well... All it did was it didn't show positive for any of the things they were testing you for. But if there's something that they're not testing you for, they're not going to find it.
I think what it is it could have been that she really didn't have the flu before, but because her body was fighting off the cold, it was more susceptible to the flu.
Oh, so she got the flu on top of whatever else.
That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Yeah, having two at once is no fun. I don't think I've ever had that where I've been like, well, I'm sneezing and coughing. Oh, and diarrhea. Like, I don't think I've ever had...
Well, it wasn't the stomach flu.
Yeah.
My other coworker had the stomach flu. From Thursday to this morning, she finally was feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
But she said her boyfriend had to stop on the side of the... Like, so she could run to use the bathroom.
Yeah, my secretary... I got to my office this morning and I was like... I noticed kind of like a disinfectant-y smell, but I didn't think anything of it. And then like I passed her in the hallway and I didn't make out exactly what she said, but I heard like blah, 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 Lysol, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? And then finally she came back and said, do you want me to Lysol your office more? I'm like, why was it Lysol
at all?
And it's because the other attorney who, our secretaries are paired up with more than one attorney per person. Her other charge is way sick all the time. Also, he has four kids. So you can imagine, he said he's been sick basically the entire year. So she Lysoled the crap out of his office and I guess got mine just to be complete.
Yeah.
So.
Jeez, I guess that's the benefit when Cece starts preschool. We'll be getting sick all the time. I've heard
even
that
more
it's,
so. Yeah.
I've heard that it's like the first year you get sick a lot and then your body starts to get a little more immune to things.
And so does hers.
I hope that's true.
Yeah.
Gosh, all of a sudden my throat started hurting.
Well, it's just the perils of being a parent that you're going to get colds and sick a lot.
I don't remember my mom ever getting sick. Like, I felt like she was just immune to it.
You just don't remember it. And I'm sure she was secretly.
I don't know. I feel like my parents just weren't. Like, it's for some reason you just don't get sick once your kids. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen for us.
No, I imagine. And you tend to get it worse than I do.
For the most part. We had like a stretch there where I wasn't getting sick at all. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like you kept getting sick and I was like, oh, I'm not sick. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, I remember we had a bunch of people over to the house for like a game night or something and I had to hide. I mean, I just couldn't
join. You couldn't participate.
Nope.
And I was like, I'm not canceling it. Nope. Peace out, Doug.
Nope. I just holed up in our bedroom.
I don't think it was a game night, by the way. I think it was art night.
Whatever it was, there was like, we had like seven people over and I had to go hide in another room, which was fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So you used to get it for a while, and then I started getting it again.
Yep.
My immune system is down.
Mm-hmm. So.
But Cece seems to be doing okay.
She's fine.
She's kind of had a little cough for a few weeks now.
And she had a runny nose for a long time, which has finally stopped. So.
Hopefully she's, like, ahead of me, like, by a couple of days, which means my nose is going to stop running someday. But it has been non-stop runny nose.
Okay, I want to talk about your sleeping habits with the non-stop
I
running
can't
nose.
Help it. Okay, you're about to be mean. But I just,
I'm not going
to
be mean.
I don't even want to go to bed anymore. Go on. What are you about to say?
No, the one where I got annoyed. This is just the one where, like, overall it's like, yeah, you're not sleeping well because your nose is stuffed up. But one night you were like, it was late. It was already like pushing midnight. And you decided that having the window open helped because the fresh, cold night air.
Yeah, it was like crisp in my nose and it was kind of keeping it a little more clear.
By the way, even though it's Southern California, at this point of the year, it still gets down to like 40 at night.
It's chilly.
It's chilly. So like instead of like trying to sleep, you kept like standing up over by the window. Spastic. I'm like, yeah, you were totally spazzed out, like sniffing the air. And I'm like, if you just tried to sleep, maybe you'd get enough. But you're like standing and walking around, basically, I'm going to stick my head in a freezer all night.
That's what I wanted to do. Because the second I lie down, my nose gets clogged up and then I have to breathe through my mouth. And then I'm like, that in the middle of the night and I can't breathe.
So instead of maybe getting some sleep, you guarantee you get zero by standing up.
That was one night.
Oh, that was aggravating. Because I knew you were going to be useless in the morning because you're so tired, which of course you're walking around the next thing. I'm like, oh, why am I so tired? I'm like, I have an idea why. Like, that's the most annoying. Where sometimes it's like, there's a solution to this problem. If only you would just.
I was trying to get my nose clearer.
I know.
So I could lie down.
I know. It sucks when that happens because there's like no escape. It's just like.
No, it's miserable. So like I've had this like nasal spray next to the bed, which is actually Cece's nasal spray. I stole it because there's no way in hell she's ever going to let me spray it up her nose.
No.
So it's like a saline mist. And it kind of moisturizes the inside of my nose just enough so I can fall asleep. And then 10 minutes later, I wake up gasping for air because my throat is so dry.
We also tried out her humidifier one night in the room, too.
But that was useless.
No, the room's too big. It didn't really.
Maybe I should just lock myself in the bathroom with a humidifier.
And try to fall asleep on the toilet?
Yeah.
That's
sitting.
Yeah, good luck.
I don't know. I just like it's gotten to the point where I don't even want to go to sleep because I know it's going to be miserable.
Is it any better than going on like no sleep from just staying awake?
No, I have to.
Freddie's gonna get you.
Last night I went to bed at like 9, and despite all 75 of my wake ups, I still slept like 8 hours according to my Fitbit. So that's the key.
I'm skeptical of your Fitbit enough. In this regard. So
you don't think I slept that much?
Total? No, I don't think so. I think with the amount you'd be getting up and then trying to go back to sleep, you would not get a collective 8 hours.
I went to bed at 9 and I woke up at 7.
Even still.
So that's really 10 hours.
Yeah.
Cut down.
Hey.
I don't know.
We'll see what happens tonight.
I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should sleep down here. Maybe it's like, I feel like anytime we go upstairs, it's worse.
I don't
know
why.
It's like dustier up there or something.
We vacuumed it up.
You know. Okay. I don't know. Anyways, enough about my cold.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Parenting. Sorry. Parenting.
So here's the parenting issue of the week. We've been looking for a daycare for Celeste because your work situation may be changing up a little bit in terms of your schedule. So we wanted to make sure we had a slot where we could bring her for one day and not impose on our family to watch her even more than they already do. So this brings me to sort of the part of it that I thought would be worth discussing, which is how do you evaluate which place is a good place? Because they're all the places we went to, meet the bare minimum. Like they're
not going to kill her.
She'll come home alive and happy from all of them.
Yes. So how do you differentiate?
Yeah. Like we interviewed three of them over the past 2 days and I just remember like at one point you turning to me going, do you have any questions? And my brain going like, and like, keep in mind, like I basically ask questions for a living. Like that's a large part of my job. Yeah. And so to have my brain just kind of go like, nope, I got nothing.
I know.
It's not helpful. So like, what are you thinking about? Like when you're interviewing these people, like what's going on in your head?
I mean, they're all mostly saying the same answers. I think for me, I'm getting like a general feel for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how they seem to respond and like their warmth level.
Mm-hmm. So you're not even interviewing, you're not worried about the criterion of like, well, how will this person look after my child?
They're generally going to be doing the same things.
Right.
She's 2. Like, I'm not looking for, like,
she's gonna want
STEM classes for my child. You know, like,
she's going to want her curriculum's
going to be generally, like, tiny curriculum, playing, learning through play.
Songs, snack time, sleep.
Nap time, pick up. Like,
right.
I didn't want anyone to have, like, too much TV time, which none of them do. So I don't know. There's just like, I just want to get that feel like, oh, I feel like this is like a grandma's house, like kind of like that. Like this is someplace where she would have fun. I don't know. How do you evaluate?
I guess it was kind of the same thing. I did sort of, like you said, get the impression of like, oh, they're all sort of saying the same stuff, which is probably a good thing because there should be some standardization to what goes on. And we were, some of these were like, you know, in-home daycares where you have one person watching maybe like, you know, between 4 and 6 kids.
Yeah.
And then one, I don't know what you call it, like a kinder care kind of like
facility.
A facility, yeah.
Yeah.
That had more of a preschool kind of feel to it.
Right.
And they both had their strengths and weaknesses. But you're right. It's that sense of like, well, what is, I don't know if it's worrying about the personal attention they'll get. How are they going to be around other children? What age groups are those children going to be in? Mm. Because like the kinder care thing, like there'd be like maybe, I don't know, 12 kids or something.
Per teacher,
something in various age groups, and that would be, I don't know if that's an experience I would rather her have or not have, and I don't know what would be better for her in terms of her socialization and development.
I mean, the range of the in-home people too is like 1 years old to like 4-ish,
but there's fewer of them.
But there's only like 5 of them,
right?
So, yeah, I think you're gonna get more one-on-one. The teacher ratio is a little bit better in the in-home, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The curriculum is going to be less than at the facility. The facility is going to be the most, I think, a curriculum driven.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because there are more standards.
Yeah.
From licensing and accreditations and stuff. But I think like the warm oogie boogies, like you're like the, you know, like a warm oozy feeling. You're going to get that from more of like an in-home place. Because I think teachers at like a facility can't be like hugging kids. Like they can't be that as warm.
They've got to be a little more like, I am a
teacher.
I'm an authority figure.
There's rules on that, I think. Yeah. And I think like you're going to get more cuddling and hopefully not kissing. That's kind of weird. But like
mothering.
A nurturing. Slightly more nurturing environment in an in-home.
Okay.
At least that's the impression I got from the places that we visited.
Mm-hmm.
There were 2 in-home places that we saw, and one was curriculum and one was not curriculum. And I thought that was interesting. One was like, oh, they'll just play. There's only so much curriculum you can do with kids anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think that's true.
They like routine though. I mean, they do have, you know, even when it comes to Cece, like when it's time to like go to bed, like she knows it's like, okay, we brush teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Dad plays the Winnie the Pooh song on his phone. Then I go give mom a hug. Then I go upstairs. Dad checks my diaper, changes if necessary. Then she gives me 2 kisses, one on each side of my face. And then she goes in. I read Goodnight Moon. She goes out.
I think she likes that. I think she'll do really well in a preschool environment when it's time for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she thrives in that environment?
Because there's some sort of a structure.
Yeah, I think she likes it.
Yeah, I think so too.
So we're going to get that more with like the places we saw today than we are with the place that we saw on Saturday.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were to give advice to say, you know, if there's a parent listening to this, what would you tell them to ask or look for?
I guess I would ask for what a typical day looks like, what their sick policy is, what their vacation time policy is. For example, if they take a week off, do you still have to pay for it? I would ask for information on what food is provided, how they deal with allergies, how they deal with biting, how they deal with discipline. What am I missing? Drop-off times, pickup times, flexibility with those times.
Nap schedules,
like how do naps work?
Also, like, I don't call it monitoring, but like you would ask questions about like, oh, would you send me pictures of how my kid's doing during the day?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. You know, their willingness to work with you and recognize that you'll probably be a little anxious as, you know, you drop your kid off with a stranger. I thought that was important to know. Yeah.
Although the one answer we got today was like, no, I'm busy. I'm watching the kids.
Yeah.
I don't have time to send you pictures, which I don't know if I'm okay with or.
That's right. But she also said, if you pick up the phone and call me, I'm happy to answer.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people are more.
Some people are just not. 2 of the people we met with are just like not very text-y
or tech-y at all.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, that's not a job requirement. So.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of other things that, like, I would want to know. But some of those things are the only thing you can only find out by, like, they're not going to tell you. Maybe it's, like, going on Yelp or, like, this person was, that we met with tonight gave us references to call.
Yep. And I called them and they all said that they, well, I talked to two of them and they said that they had had bad experiences at other daycares. And so this was like a whole different experience. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, totally feel comfortable leaving their kids there.
So and that's what that
was,
I mean,
helpful. I think having referrals is great.
Yeah, absolutely. That's there. 'Cause those people are going to give you the straight story.
Yep.
Now if they're current people, then you know they're currently leaving their kids with them. You can imagine it's probably going to be a positive review, or else they would have pulled their kids out.
Yeah. But I ask how long that the kids have been there. Would they recommend this? And one of the first lady I called had actually recommended the second person that I talked to.
Oh, okay.
So they already know each other, those two people.
Mm-hmm. So.
But they were more than willing to answer the questions. Just like I would be if someone called me.
Yeah, I would want to as well. It's a scary thing, like leaving your kids with someone you don't really know. Yeah.
And that was one of the questions that I asked the ladies on the phone today. I was like, how do you pick? Like, what makes a place better than another place?
And what did they say?
They were like me, like they just had a feeling. Like they mostly just went off of like getting a good feeling from the place. One said that she brought her kid there and she just instantly she took to it. So she could watch her kid in the environment.
Yeah.
She saw that she was happy. And Cece was happy in all three of the places that we went to.
Well, yeah, because when she gets there, it's just like, hey, look,
play,
toys.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I did notice that I thought with the last person we saw today, Cece had more of a response to her. That she was more like playing with her. Like she waved bye-bye at her. Uh-huh. She talked to her, like handed her a toy. She didn't have that level of interaction with the other two. She just kind of like wandered around and did her own thing. And didn't really respond to them at all. So
the first one she did, she was handing her toys.
Was she? I didn't notice
the other
her as much.
Home person.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that maybe I just didn't happen to see it.
Yeah.
But I still got the impression that Celeste liked the second one a little better.
Today's?
Yeah.
Tonight's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The out of the two people we saw tonight, I thought she liked the second one.
I don't think she really interacted with the facility person.
No. She just, you know, walked around and played with toys. She did well interacting with the other children who were there when we first got there.
Yeah.
She did a good job with
it
that.
It did seem like kind of like unstructured. I don't know if that's just what daycare preschool
looks I think it like. Just looks like that because they're, you know, you're not going to be able to. This isn't like, you know, British reform school. We don't need no education. You know, you don't get your meat to have your, or how can you have any pudding when you don't eat your meat kind of situation. Like they're going to wander around.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know how the Brits get those kids to do that, but that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
Anything
else on daycare that you want to talk about?
I don't know. I think we've kind of covered the issue that I was interested in, which was just, you know, how are we going to make this selection? How does anybody make this selection?
I don't know. I feel like I want to call a couple more places.
That's fine.
I think that there could be some places on the way between our offices and our home.
That's the other thing.
There's a big city in between there that we can investigate. Irvine.
Yeah.
One of the ladies that we found is no longer available. She was a little off the beaten path. So maybe not in that direction of Irvine, but
closer. Yeah, I mean, those are other factors obviously to consider is, you know,
location.
How. Yeah, location and convenience and hours and all that kind of stuff too. That's got to line up for us too.
Yeah.
So.
But really, we're only looking for a little bit of help until June, because in June, Cece will start a more official preschool that we've already vetted and we like.
So we just have to make it to June.
Yep.
So.
Which is not really, how many months is that?
By
the time we start?
Yeah.
Five-ish?
Five-ish.
Which is not even that many, so that's like 20 times?
Yeah.
Going to? Because it's only going to be one time a week.
Right. So
it's not that big a deal.
No.
I mean, it is, but
I don't think we would be putting any less thought into it, though, if it was 5 days a week or one. I mean, you're still giving your child over to this, you know, stranger.
That's true.
And so, I like I said, I don't think our thought process would be different just because it's, you know, we're rolling the dice fewer times, so to speak. So, actually, speaking of rolling the dice, that led me to my other thing, which is a minor point, but I do want to do another edition of Amy Explains the Thing.
Oh, no. Rolling the dice. Okay.
Yeah.
What is it about?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, my God.
Because I realize this. I feel like I've made references to it in the recent enough past. And, like, you kind of went, uh-huh. And that made me think of like, oh, I'll ask her on the podcast what she thinks okay. it is.
Well,
keep in mind, we watched Stranger Things, in which you actually see kids play it, but
sort of. I mean, you're not the first person who has said the word Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I've heard of this okay. before you.
All right, that's a start. I'm just curious, because this is, by the way, not to say that I'm too good for this, or I am not nerdy enough to play this a lot, but I haven't really played a lot of Dungeons and Dragons in my life of being a giant nerd. So.
They just unsubscribed you from nerd.
I was going to say, for those people who do know more about this than whatever I'm about to say, I will humbly request your grace and forgiveness if I get details wrong. But this is Amy's show now, so I want to hear what you say.
Okay, so in my mind, everybody is a character.
Okay, that is true.
And you roll the dice, and then it helps you make your move. And then you kind of make your move based on what the dice is.
That's true of most games, though. Can you be more specific?
I don't know. I think, okay, I guess if I had to make up the game on the spot, maybe you roll two dices and you pick between the two. Like, there's definitely some free will involved, but I definitely mm-hmm. think you roll a dice. So I don't know how that works together. And then there's, a dungeon master who helps. Who maybe doesn't have a specific character, but is the master of the game. That's about as much as I can tell you.
You got pretty. Yeah, I was gonna say you did better than I would have thought. I thought this could have been all over the place, but you're on the right track. Which is that the
just so you know, I don't really give a shit what you're about to say.
I was just gonna say.
But go ahead and tell me what. It's not that I don't care that you're proud of me. Mm-hmm. I don't care what Dungeons & Dragons is about.
I was just going to tell you that your guess was actually very close.
Okay, go ahead and tell me what it is. I'm going to forget about it in 5 minutes.
The Dungeon Master does not have a character. The Dungeon Master hosts the game. And every person creates their own little character. And they're on their character sheet, you get a certain number of... You get a certain number of points that you can put on certain statistics. So strength or defense or things like that. And so when you encounter, say, a monster in the course of your quest, the monster has a bunch of statistics assigned to it, like hit points, like how much damage can it take before it dies. And you have how much damage you can deal out. So you have to decide as a character, what am I going to do? I'm going to swing my sword. I'm going to raise my shield. I'm going to cast a spell. Whatever you're going to do, you roll the dice. The number on the dice pairs with whatever your statistic is, and that tells you what happens. It's actually pretty awesome.
Oh my God. Okay, changing subject. Which is funny because we've played that game at Kristen's. Remember that game?
Oh, Dominion.
Yeah, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same.
It's basically, Dungeons & Dragons is not that different from something like that. It's basically more freeform. It's like you are...
Yeah. The cards tell you what to do.
Correct. In D&D, the Dungeon Master would be essentially guiding you through an experience of you're in a town, you're in a cave, whatever, and you make the choice. I want to go this way, I want to go that way, I want to do this, and... Within the confines of the quest, he can kind of guide you into what happens. And it's supposed to be you're going to sort of mimic a Lord of the Rings type quest experience. So that's what it is.
Everything I know from Dungeons & Dragons, I learned from Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Was that in that movie?
I don't know if it was officially called Dungeons & Dragons. I think it was called Night Quest or something like that, where it's pretty much Dungeons & Dragons.
The copyright. We could not get the trademarks to say Dungeons & Dragons on screen.
So anyways.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. That dice game with fantasy and nerd stuff.
So Doug basically wishes I could play that game with him.
I've barely played it myself.
Bundle of Oi Dungeons and Dragons chapter.
Yes. And my character will be at the griffin.
Mall, you can go to the mall and play it. There's nerds that play at the mall.
Oh, that's right. There's that game store where people will get... that's okay. I don't actually play it.
Honey, if you really want to do it, you could do that.
I don't...
That could be your new Friday activity.
I don't want that to be my new Friday activity.
Friday nights with Doug at Dungeons & Dragons Land.
I would totally get... It's the kind of thing that's fun to play with your actual friends. I don't think it would be fun to just play with a bunch of strangers. That'd be weird. But I would totally, if I had a bunch of nerd friends that played it, because that's the thing is, I don't know enough about it myself. Like, I've barely played it myself, maybe twice in my whole life. So I would not be a good person to be a dungeon master or host a game like that.
You could take classes at the game store.
That would be the saddest, nerdiest class in the world. Like, of all the things I could do to better myself, like, oh, I'm going to learn to speak Japanese, or I'm going to learn to play the violin. Like, nope, I'm going to take Dungeons & Dragons lessons.
Can you imagine if, like, one of my friend's husbands called and was like, hey, does Doug want to go out to the gun range with us? And I'm like, no, he's at the mall playing Dungeons & Dragons.
And crying into his big, sad nerd diaper.
Aww.
No.
Nerd diaper.
I was trying to think of a way to make it even sadder.
Why would
sadder.
You cry into a diaper?
Because Are it's so big. I'm like crying.
I don't
understand and my,
this
no,
analogy.
I'm like crying and my tears go roll down my face and into the giant diaper I have because I'm a big nerd baby.
I want to see the drawing on Venda Lavoie's Facebook page of nerd diaper. Doug in a nerd diaper. Can you draw that?
Sure. By the way, Nerd Diaper sounds like a great name for like a Weezer type band.
I think that's the name of your Dungeons & Dragons spin-off band.
Nerd Diaper? Probably was Weezer's band name before they became Weezer. I like Nerd Diaper is just a pair of words is fun.
You've never heard it before.
I haven't. No, but by the way, if your friends asked, I would totally go to the gun range because that would be fun.
Okay. I think they go sometimes. You should get in on that.
I should. I'd just rent a couple of guns and have at it.
You're not buying a gun though. I don't agree with guns.
I don't feel the need to buy a gun. I'll put it that way. Okay. I'm not against them, but I don't feel the need to
have a gun in my house.
No, I don't either.
Okay.
We don't have
to have the gun conversation. I think we did have it on a previous podcast.
We did. It's not very parenting related unless of course
it is.
If you're a gun owner and you're a parent, for fuck's sake, lock it up. But other than that, that not much else to say. Any other parenting things you want to talk about? Or just life things? Weird things? No?
We're staring at each other. We are once again ill-prepared for this podcast. Well, we'd love to have your input. If there's topics you would like to hear, send them to us at bundleofoy@gmail.com or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/bundleofoy. I checked our reviews a couple of days ago, and I'm guessing we don't have any new ones in the last couple of days because there weren't any.
But do it! Get out there! Do it! Get on there and review us on iTunes, please. That would be very helpful and appreciated.
I didn't mean to cut off our podcast.
Oh,
I just
yeah,
thought that was a good pitch opportunity.
Oh, okay, it sounded like you're like, oh, we're just barreling towards the end of this.
No. I mean, feel free to. I think you have more topics. Go for it. Do you have a life topic you'd like to talk about?
Just a general life thing? Oh, man, let's just talk about how awesome The Good Place is. Can we talk about that?
It is a fun show.
It's really good.
Why don't you tell them what the premise is?
The premise is...
It's a show, it does, yeah. By the way.
it's this thing you watch on a box in your house.
What is a TV?
Yeah. If you've ever seen the Albert Brooks film Defending Your Life, it's a little like that. It's about these...
It takes place in the afterlife.
Right. These four people die and they wind up in the afterlife and it's about them kind of... coping with it, and it's obviously a very funny, satirical take on religion and the afterlife. And there's a lot of like kind of spins on it and stuff, but it's super clever.
We won't go into details, but it's funny. It's a really good cast.
Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
And some other people who I do not recognize at all.
No, but they all
jive
together quite well.
Yeah. It's a very talented cast.
It has had some fun guest stars. Adam Scott.
Oh, yeah. Jason Mantzoukas, who my sweet, sweet man crush, Jason Mantzoukas.
You do like him.
From another podcast, which we would highly recommend, How Did This Get Made? And
friend of our podcast. Not really. Not at all. They don't even know who we are.
No, they don't know we exist. Who else? Dax Shepard, not surprisingly. It's just a damn good time.
And it goes fast.
Yeah.
It's a 30-minute or like a 22-minute show.
Right. It's a network sitcom.
And we speed through them.
Yeah.
Like four at a time.
That's the other thing about being parents and like you end up watching a lot of TV because you're so exhausted at the end of the night. So we've like binged our way through a whole bunch of shows. And it's like, oh man.
We're like, we have nothing to watch right now.
We need a new show because it's not, the people who make these shows generally don't expect that you will just blast through 50 episodes in a couple of weeks.
We're currently watching Gallivant.
Which is fun.
Which I'm fine with.
It's got Alan Menken songs.
It's kind of fun. Like, the lyrics of the songs are kind of funny.
They're pretty clever.
They're like modern. like, there's a lot of modern references, but it really takes place in, like, I don't even know what year.
It's like a fractured fairy tale kind of thing. It takes place in, like, you know, the 1100s or something. But it's all, yeah, picture, like, the Princess Bride, sort of, with but with songs. It's very sort of satirical. And like I said, Alan Menken does all the music, so.
You know, he's not the lyricist, though.
No, but he writes the melodies. Whoever does the lyrics is pretty clever.
Yeah.
They're very clever.
Very good.
So that's our TV pitch. Anything else you want to talk about before we call it a wrap?
Oh, man. I had something for a second because you like made a reference to it. And then I was like, oh, let's talk about that.
Alan Menken.
No, go back.
Go back? Gallivant. 1152.
1152?
It's the year it takes place or something.
Oh, okay. Keep going backwards.
Backwards from that? Good place. Ted Danson, Jason Mantzoukas.
No.
Anything
else? Any other big words?
Big words. Dax Shepard, obviously.
A daycare. Oh, you went too far. Go
too far back. Too far back. Guns. So now I have no idea what you were trying to get me to. I'm sorry.
I couldn't find it.
All right. Well, then we should probably call it quits. We're getting
goofy. On that note.
Yeah. Whatever goofy. Note that was.
Goofy. Why'd you say goofy?
I said we're getting goofy.
No, we are goofy.
Yeah.
We're getting squirmy. Which is what we call what Celeste when she is overtired.
Oh, her drunk phase?
Yeah.
Yeah, she totally acts drunk. Like, she's, like, falling down and...
When,
like,
she's tired.
She's tired. She gets spazzy. So that's what's happening to us, so... we're going to call it quits, but again, send your feedback to bundleofhoy@gmail.com or the Facebook group. And until next time, bottom of the evening to you.